and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet. I'm here in the studio with Ron Landis. The late Patty Fink will be joining us in just a few minutes.
I'm here.
The late Patty Fink will be joining us in just a few minutes.
And I'm not dead.
It's the ghost of Patty.
It is Pledge Drive. Candy Markham, who, thank you very much for coming this week instead of 2 weeks ago. We had Chef Joey on from California that week. He was just in for the weekend. So, can't.
This really works for me because it's a cowboy bye week.
Ah,
so you know it's perfect. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes. You seem a lot less stressed.
Gretchen is here. Gretchen is Jesus's sister.
And former Lambda Weekly guest.
Another regular Lambda Weekly guest. We have Doc answering the phones. Jesus Goldberg is on the board. And
we should explain formally.
Oh, formerly Josh, formerly Chris. One of the things, Candy, we do need to talk about is that Chris, Josh, Jesus, Bill here has split personalities. Different name for his working as a professor. That's really scary, your students. As a writer, he helped me interview some other writers we had, and that week, what's your name as a writer?
Christopher Lee
jumped up to the number one GLBT poet on Amazon that week.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, it's called dissociative disorder. It's called DID, dissociative identity disorder. But the trouble with you is that you know all of them. So you don't really fit.
We
maybe you're the primary. That's why you know them all.
Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe it's a new, completely unique to
diagnosis.
Chris, Josh. Yeah.
Well, but usually when somebody has a dissociative disorder, they can't control.
They can't control, and they don't realize they are.
Right.
He's well aware.
All of them.
Yeah.
Oh, he sits down.
He's had therapy.
Christopher Lee sits down to write. Josh Maness goes to work at school. And Jesus Goldberg here comes to run the board for us on Sundays. It's not a random thing that he did. So, anyway.
And, you know, they seem to all get along.
They seem to get along pretty well.
We love
well.
Them all.
And what's nice is that during Pledge Drive, each of them pledges.
Now that's something he didn't know.
Jesus gets a t-shirt. Josh gets a t-shirt. Chris gets a t-shirt. Each of them gets a t-shirt. You can get a t-shirt too if you call 972-647-1893. You could get some small curd fleece, as Aaron called it. It's a nice fleece jacket, $100 pledge. You can get an umbrella for a $75 pledge. We have all kinds of stuff. Josh, Chris, Jesus here would be happy to help you with that. So would Doc. Doc is easier to talk to. It's only one personality.
Doc, and in fact, Doc is waiting for your call and standing by for
He is literally standing by.
Yep.
972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. Help keep the oldest, longest-running weekly gay and lesbian radio show on the air.
And award-winning.
And award-winning.
Can't forget that.
Award-winning
yes. Talk show.
The ever-informative award-winning.
What am I? Not personable.
Entertaining.
No, that wasn't it.
Oh, I forgot the quote.
Genial. Yes, and with the genial David Taffet.
Kind of genial. Yeah.
And loyal lieutenants. Late Patty Fink and Laron Landis. And our regular guests. And Candy, Gretchen, I want to thank you for coming regularly because, you know, that's a commitment also. And these people commit their time, and I really appreciate that. We just have a lot of fun doing it, I hope, as you can tell. But we do need your support to keep us on the air. Just because we've been on the air for 31 years doesn't mean we're going to stay on the air if we don't get support, if suddenly all that support drops off. So 972-647-1893, give us a call. We were going to talk a little bit today about stress for the holidays. Candy is a counselor. Gretchen is a counselor. Josh and I feel no stress for the holidays because the holidays are over.
See, they're so funny. They don't do Thanksgiving. They don't do New Year's Eve.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But is Thanksgiving the same kind of stressful holiday?
You know, it is.
I would think it's more.
Why? It is, because it's the first one when the whole family gets together. And back in the day, for me, that's when everyone came out. They would come out around the Thanksgiving turkey, you know, and mother would faint and daddy would drink. And
see, in my family, it was,
I know you're different. Everyone loved you, David.
You
were the turkey.
Mom, dad, uncle, this one, I'm gay. And they'd all say, yeah. You're telling us something we don't know?
So. See, and in the rest of America, you have to just make sure they don't faint into one of the prime dishes, like the potatoes or something, you know?
But, you know, I think that is, you know, when people come back home and get together. And I just think, unfortunately, from then on, Thanksgiving takes on a different memory, and that stays with them for the rest of the time. But I don't think that happens. Maybe someone can call and tell us differently, but I don't think that happens as much now as back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
I think people come out maybe earlier, mm-hmm. maybe come out when they're still kind of at home, maybe in high school.
I thought you meant in the morning before you.
While you would still sleep.
This one's been up all night long wondering how am I going to say it.
But I think there's even another stress for those who are already out, and that is, in some families, you're out, but your family doesn't want to acknowledge it or talk about it. Mm-hmm. And so at the time of holidays, particularly Thanksgiving, it's like, do you bring your partner? And do you, when you do bring him or her, do you acknowledge that it's your partner, or do you just introduce them as, this is your friend?
The friend is
Or this is my roommate.
Friend.
Yeah.
And, you
that's
know,
a whole
and
different
I,
kind of stress.
And I think that still happens. I think that does happen, because it still takes a while to incorporate that identity into yourself and then share it with your family.
Okay, so my first partner, we went home to his family. This is mid-70s, and his grandfather was there. So he said, Papa, this is David, who I live with.
David.
And his grandfather looked at us and said, what, are you two lesbians? And we just got finally his mother, who after she stopped crying, she was just hysterical, she said, Daddy, why did you ask them if they're lesbians? He said, well, the way they said, they live together. So he got it. You know, this was an elderly man. He got it.
Maybe it was back when y'all had long hair.
Oh, I had a big Jufro then.
But it's funny, you know, we can laugh about it now, but back in the day it was really painful. And now I think the situation is, certainly, you know, I'm not going to come home if my partner's not invited. Mm-hmm. And then it's, you know, where do we sleep? Mm-hmm. Do we sleep in separate places? Then, you know, down the timeline of history, it's now I have a partner, I have a child. Whose house do we go to, your parents or my parents? When do we get to have it just for ourselves?
Okay, has that made it easier or harder for you, Laron?
Actually easier, because, you know, my mom is deceased and my dad lives way out of town.
Oh, okay. So you always go to Danny's house.
Yeah, but we have had it at our house at a couple of times.
So, had the family over.
Mm-hmm, had the family, and I think we're doing it again this year.
Oh, okay.
I love that. The other stressor, and it doesn't have to do with your sexual orientation, is there is just stress of family getting together, and there may be an uncle or a dad or mother who drinks too much. And they're stressed out. And so they drink even more. And so every holiday, it's, you know, as Aunt Sue going to get sloshed and fall into the gravy, you know? And so you want to be careful. If somebody has a drinking problem, or if you do, you know, watch. Limit it to two glasses of something and have a good time with your family.
Mm-hmm. You know, can we go back to the ones who may have trouble deciding if they're going to bring a partner or not home? Because I belong to a gay dads group, and some of them have those very problems to this day.
Yeah.
They have a child.
Even with kids.
Even with kids. They have a child, and there's somebody in their family who won't even acknowledge the child as part of the family because they adopted the child. And for me, I wouldn't be torn at all. That's an easy one for me. And, you know, I take my family first, you know, my immediate family, i.e. Danny and my daughter. So there would be a no-brainer for me. Mm-hmm. But for some people, they're really torn about this. What do I do? Mm-hmm. Any thoughts about that? From either of you all.
I think it is so difficult not to love a child. Even if it's not yours. But if it is yours, your bloodline, I mean, I know that happens, but it just it makes my head spin. I think it is so difficult. Mm-hmm. My experience has been that the child brings the parents around, the grandparents.
Mm-hmm. Usually.
Yeah. But, you know, if that person has not come out for a long time, it's not surprising that their parents are judgmental. They're not going to accept him. They're not going to accept his child. They're just not loving people.
Yeah. Gretchen, have you had that same experience?
She's shaking her head.
Yeah, no.
I'm thinking about, I think that I have had that same experience, and it's much easier for parents to cope with that if the child is older, because they can explain to the child in a way that the child understands more about kind of what's going on. And if the child's younger, then they just sense that there's a negativity, but mm-hmm. they don't really understand why. Mm-hmm. And so that can be more challenging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although with an older child who's been adopted, who's been thrown around from one home to another, and then to in your own family, when you're finally the one who really loves that child and wants to make a home for it, and your extended family is not being real accepting. I'm with you, Laurent. You know, your immediate family comes first, and then, you know, if the others want to come into the family, that's great. But if they don't...
I think you protect your child. Yeah. That's what a parent's supposed to do. And if you know that's going to be a negative experience, you don't take them into that.
I say get a whole new tradition.
Yeah.
Create a whole new tradition where that child is fully included mm-hmm. and loved and embraced mm-hmm. during this holiday.
Exactly. I think we're so much better with our children than we are with ourselves. Mm-hmm. We might go ahead and put ourselves in that situation, but we wouldn't put our child in that.
I hope not.
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
And for a great portrayal of it, you should watch the film Home for the Holidays.
That is a good one.
Always
movie.
A classic at Thanksgiving.
It is Pledge Drive. I do want to just remind people, we just got a call, and thank you, caller, for making a pledge to Lambda Weekly, helping keep the oldest, longest-running gay and lesbian radio show that was named Best Talk Show in Dallas by Dallas Observer this year.
Well-deserved.
Keeping thank us on you. The air. Thank you very much.
Well-deserved.
We certainly should win the talk show that has the most fun doing it, because we do. You know, and it's interesting who we come up with, and that was, Cannon, thank you very much.
Thank you, Cannon.
And Candy, thank you very much for
And thank you,
your
Candy.
Pledge. 972-647.
You're welcome, Patty.
972-647-1893. You know, a lot of our guests call in, and they come back and they donate, and even if it's not every time, some of them, they'll donate once a year. And if you're one of our once a year donors, and we have a lot of those, we have a couple of once a year donors that date back to when we were at the Crack House over on San Jacinto. well, that was the name of the studio. It was the Crack House on San Jacinto.
It doesn't exist anymore.
As soon as we moved out, they raised that building. It was that bad. But if you haven't made a pledge in a while, give us a call. This would be a great time. End of the year is coming up. Donations are tax deductible. You can pledge by text message now. You text KNON to 56512. That's KNON to 56512. Make your pledge on your phone. You can pledge online by just going to KNON.org. Click the pledge button, and a whole list of all of the pledge premiums comes up, and you just tell them that you're pledging to the Gay Show or Lambda Weekly or Sunday at 1 o'clock, whatever. All that will tell us who to credit for the donation. 972-647-1893. Schizophrenic Josh Jesus Christopher is standing by, Bill, waiting for the phone. 972-647-1893. Gretchen Maness is here. She's sometimes related to Josh.
One of those.
Yeah, she's related to one of his personalities. How do you deal with this at home, or is it just one particular personality at home?
Well, thankfully, I'm a therapist.
Yeah.
So that's helpful. Many of the personalities are very immature, and since my specialty is children, mm-hmm. that works as well. So I employ a lot of the same discipline and strategies that I use with children in session to deal with each of the personalities.
That's good to know.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
That's cute.
And do you love all of them?
Not equally.
No.
Love is a strong word.
But I have to tell you all, they have like this really big, intimidating dog. Looking dog, but apparently he's a really big sweetheart. So how does the dog like all of you? All four of you?
He gets along with us well.
Good, good.
Yes.
Good.
He knows BS when he sees it.
Although he is much closer to Gretchen. I think he recognizes stability.
Yes. The thing about animals is that they can sense energy. And occasionally when one of the personalities is being a little bit rigid and difficult, the dog can sense that.
We're actually talking about stress today. Holiday stress coming up because holidays are coming up. Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, New Year's, all those holidays.
Mm-hmm. I think another big stressor is just actually why I think Thanksgiving is a bigger stressor than Christmas is just the preparation of the meal itself. Yeah, and this is something that I've seen a change over the years is that most Thanksgivings are it's almost like a potluck. Everybody contributes mm-hmm. and brings something. It's not just one person who's making the entire meal anymore. So I think maybe the stress is lightened up a little bit.
I think it feels good to be included, and I think when you include everybody by saying, please bring a side dish or dessert or something like that, I think it does help. But I don't like people in my kitchen. That wouldn't help me very much. You feel that way? No, you're nice,
okay,
aren't you? Yeah, you're nice.
Now, you have to be careful, though. We had one year where we had a whole bunch of people, probably 30, 40 people come, and we were at a location where we could have that many people. And we had a huge, long table with pies, and there were 19 pies, but everybody thought somebody else would be bringing pumpkin, and we ended up with no pumpkin pie. We had 19 pies, but not one of them was pumpkin.
I can understand how that would be very stressful.
It was very stressful. Wow. 40 people, like, what are we going to do? And so now the tradition is everybody brings one pumpkin pie and one other kind of pie, if they want that other kind of pie. And we have lots of pumpkin pie, but everybody makes sure it's there.
See, now, one tradition we had, and I've changed traditions over the years. Now Brian and I go to his parents' house, usually. And it's an interesting mixture that comes. I really like one of his stepsisters, because his mother is remarried. And we just have a nice day. Beth Elbana, the gay Jewish congregation, for a number of years did Thanksgiving together. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first year that we did it, you know, the guys, we were just standing around, the women were sitting around, and I said, okay, hold on here. I walked into the den, and I just looked at all the women, and I said, isn't this the way it always is? The men are in the kitchen cooking, and the women are all watching football.
As it should be.
Some of you are going to get up and help. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink and with LaRon Landis. Our guests are community counselor. That's the title.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, okay.
Candy Markham and Gretchen Maness, and we are. We need to take a break. It is pledge drive 972-647-1893. Doc standing by the phone, waiting to take your call.
I'm Michael from UNT, and I listen to Lambda Weekly on KNON 89.3 FM.
And this is Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. 972-647-1893 is the number to call to make your pledge to Lambda Weekly. 972-647-1893. You can become an Elite Music sponsor for just $500. And I say just, that's a nice, healthy donation, but the number of events that KNON puts on, about 40 events a year, most of them include food. It's tickets for two, completely paid, all kinds of things at Poor David's Pub, at Sons of Herman Hall. We have a couple of events here, like a New Year's event and a Thanksgiving concert. You're always welcome. You're always on the guest list when you become an Elite Music sponsor. So give us a call, 972-647-1893. We've actually sold some on the show before, and people have just loved being on that list and being a special KNON guest.
And Aaron and I have done that before, and it's just fantastic. Mm-hmm. Your names are on there every time you just walk in. And there's something almost every week. So for $500 a year, you get, you know, a good probably 40, 50 events. Mm-hmm. So well worth it. Usually food involved, too. Food and music.
Woohoo!
972-647-1893. One of our new pledge premiums this time is a navy blue beanie, scarf, and glove set for a $50 pledge. And I think it's going to be a cold winter this year, so you'll get some good use out of it. 972-647-1893. If you're thinking ahead to spring, we have KNON concert chairs for a $100 pledge. So 972-647-1893. We're talking to our community counselors here. We're talking about stress around the holidays, how to avoid it, how to make it worse if you don't have enough of it.
You know, I have another thought, too. Besides, I think, watching your alcohol intake.
Mine?
Yes, in particular, yours, David. is that I think you need to watch your budget, how much you want to spend on gifts. The bigger the gift is not necessarily the better gift. I think it's the more thoughtful gift, whatever that is. But I think it's important to plan your budget and stick to your budget. So, and I have friends from my hometown. We all get together and give lots of little gifts. And they shop all year long.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I think that's not... I shop right before I get on the plane.
At the airport.
Very thoughtful. But money is a stressor, and people tend to spend too much of it on the holidays.
And, you know, mentioning shopping, Black Friday, that's a huge stressor. You know, does anybody here do it?
No, I generally don't go into a store between Thanksgiving and Christmas. I try to stay out of stores. I can't stand them.
Online,
you know, just
is my
the
best
name
friend.
Black Friday. I hope everybody understands what that term is. When I was in retail back in the 70s and 80s, we called it Black Friday, but would never say that to the customers because what it refers to is how horrible the customers are. I mean, it's an old retail term that referred to the worst customers. Came out the day after Thanksgiving. They would come in, tear your store apart. It was a mess. You'd end up having to work late just to re-straighten up the store so you could open again on Saturday. It was miserable.
That's exactly what happens.
I thought that
it
term,
is what happens.
I thought the term meant that they were in the black.
It's the first time in the year when they got in the black.
No, it referred to like Black Death. It is an old retail term, and it kind of came into general use.
Wow.
Now, here's one thing, my advice to people when you're shopping. Be nice.
Yes.
Yeah, I've done the Black Friday thing twice. Once was before Gabrielle was born, and then the second time was when she was 2 or 3 years old. And the only reason I went is because Danny's mom kept begging me to go with her, and they did have this bicycle on sale. It was incredibly cheap. I got to go. I went. We were there for like 5 hours just to get through, and there were like 3 or 4 fights in.
And you must have saved yourself $10.
It was a mess.
You saved yourself $10 too.
Oh, no, it was a lot more than that. But I said I will never do this again, and I haven't. No more.
Yeah, it's bad.
Did you win
bad.
The fight?
Wasn't in it.
Or fights.
Yeah. There was more than one. It was like 3. Yeah. It was a mess. So you're right. It is a mess.
Is horrible shopping. And what's worse this year is all the stores are open on Thanksgiving.
Well, there's some, I don't know who
really?
They are, I wish I could tip my hat to them, that have decided not to do that. Mm-hmm. Because my favorite holiday is Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. That is my favorite holiday. And I went to a restaurant on Cedar Springs that shall not be named, that had their Halloween decorations up. And I went this week to lunch, and they had their Christmas decorations up. But what happened to the turkey? What happened to the fall stuff, you know? So Thanksgiving really gets overlooked, and that's just my favorite holiday.
You know, we were talking about keeping on a budget, and one of the things that my family, I usually spend holidays with my older sister and brother-in-law, and we've done this thing for years where we talk about ahead of time about a budget. So we're not going to spend, say, more than $10
per person,
because we know that we love each other. We don't have to express that through hugely expensive gifts. That's crazy money. And it's more about being creative. And so we come up with a criteria every year. Like, one year we had some, it had to be descriptor had to be four letters long. And one year it had to be a miniature of something bigger. You know, so we got, like, I got some refrigerator magnets of a barbecue pit for my brother-in-law. You know, I mean, that kind of thing. But just to keep it from becoming insane.
That's smart. That's really smart. I like that.
It sounds fun.
Yeah, it's incredibly fun. And when we come up with the criteria, it's something you have to really think about and adhere to. And one year we had to re-gift. So we took a gift, you know what regifting is, of course, you know, taking a gift that you didn't really care for and giving it to someone else.
Someone you love.
Right. And so we all regifted, and that was a really fun year, just to see what people were going to regift.
Yeah.
You know. Now, one thing that goes on this time of year is, as fundraisers, a number of organizations hold silent auctions. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're putting your name down on something, and at the end, you win...
Oops.
Some of us have partners who go to the table and say to find out what they won.
Yeah, and like they won something. They like have to pay for it.
You didn't win. You do have to pay
for
it.
You have to pay.
At the price that you won at.
So just
saying, in case somebody's listening.
Are you in Hawk?
Well, I know, David.
Last night, actually, we have a new place, and this loft that we're living in is much bigger than the old apartment, and it's dark, so we needed some lamps. So we bid last night at Black Tie on several lamps, and not only we got two, and now we can write them off.
You won, too.
And we can write them off. We won, too. So, we did not go crazy last night.
Here's another possible stressor, or not possible, I know it is a stressor for some couples. What kind of advice would you give couples who are in an interfaith relationship? You know, one is one religion, one's another, and they both take them very seriously.
You know, that was going to be the second thing I mentioned after money, is that does happen, that we either are of different faiths, or one of us is a believer and one of us is not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something you really, really need to talk about. When I do premarital counseling, there's several things we talk about. Money is one of them. Certainly if there's an alcohol problem or drug problem is one of them. Children. To have children or not have children, and then what folds in there is the religious aspect. And people tend to, who were raised in a religious household but don't particularly practice, when they have a child, they think about that. Mm-hmm. I want to start taking my child to church like my parents took me. And so which church do we go to? And, you know, depending on the health of each person, the mental health of each person, depending on if it's not about control, which a lot of relationships are, you can find common ground. But you have to talk about it, and more than once. And then sometimes what you thought would work out once you have the child, the grandparents get involved and put a lot of pressure on the person for that child to be in the faith of the family.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is something to be discussed prior to making some kind of huge commitment.
If that's never been an issue with you, David. I know you personally, but like if you're dating someone who's not Jewish and they're celebrating Christmas and they want to invite you over, you'll still go.
Of course.
Yeah.
Why not?
What did you say?
He said there's food.
There's food.
There's food.
Free food, no less.
Yeah, I mean, we go to, even though Brian practices Judaism, his family is Christian. He was raised Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
He gets the shakes when he walks into a church, actually. Literally, we've gone to Cathedral of Hope, and to hear a speaker, like a really wonder. They've had some fabulous speakers this year, and the speaker's over, and okay, can we go now? Can we go now? Can we go now? And it's, no, I want to meet him afterwards. I want to say hello. Huh? He is that uncomfortable because of his upbringing, but you know, and in Temple, he's completely comfortable, and it's interesting the difference. Church, he will not go into the church without a yarmulke, so. I never wear one, even in Temple.
You know, converts are the strongest people, mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, yeah. But it's interesting how he's embraced one because the other one he has such a horrible reaction to. And part of it has to do with his having gone to Dallas Baptist University and was thrown out when they found out that he was gay.
Right,
or
right.
Not even found out, but kind of suspected.
I can relate.
Yeah, yeah. You weren't thrown out, though.
No, I wasn't thrown out, but I did go to Jerusalem on the Brazos,
mm-hmm.
You know, Baylor University.
And they did sue you when you tried to create a gay alumni association.
Well, not me personally, but to our organization, we got to cease and desist, mm-hmm. You know, from being Baylor, you know, gay and lesbian alumni. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a harsh, harsh environment.
My school regularly contacts us. Would you like to help start a gay English department alumni association?
The times have changed, but not so much here. In I don't see Texas as South, but I'm going to say South, as maybe more progressive states, blue states. But there's a thing called religiosity, mm-hmm. Where that's a very negative thing. And I think, depending on what happened, it can be close to PTSD. Mm-hmm. That you've had an experience that was really difficult to handle and feared for your life or maybe your soul. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a big thing. Your parents are the most powerful people to you, and there is an entity that they adore, a god, who also is coming down mm-hmm. on you for your sexual orientation. That's a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm. I saw this, one of the most disturbing things I think I've ever seen. Recently, Aaron and I watched a documentary on one of the cable channels called The L Word. I think it was Mississippi. It was produced by the same people who put together The L Word. But it was looking at some lesbians in the Deep South, and many of them so still internalize it. They say, I know I'm going to hell, but this is who I am, and I'm going to live my life this way. And they've bought into the whole thing, and almost across the board. And I encourage people to watch it because it's an eye opener mm-hmm. about what our movement is really facing. Because it's not just how we see our movement; it's how many others who are you know inside it in the South have kind of self-hating attitudes about them and views and beliefs, mm-hmm. religious beliefs that they're judging themselves so harshly, and it's scary to me. It's really,
I think
really
it
scary.
Is so sad. It is so sad that you think that God would create trash. That is so sad to me, because that is not how it is.
Over who you love.
Yes, or who you are, just who you are.
And I think what you're saying, Patty, is some of those same attitudes permeate some individuals who you wouldn't think would still have those thoughts, but that's why they would have trouble probably deciding between their families, going to see them on holidays, knowing how they feel about them, as opposed to protecting their kid and their partner, because they still, you know, they still have those thoughts.
And, right. You know, and you know, the number one question that I get when you know I talk about, oh, I've been to Cathedral of Hope again, is, well, were they trying to convert you? And, you know, and it's like number one. No.
It's not.
Number two,
it's not about toasters, is it?
No. But number two, if they were, I'm secure enough in my own religion and my own beliefs that I can go enjoy their service, enjoy what they're enjoying, get something out of it, not get other things out. But for what I went for, which was a good speaker, I can enjoy that. What's wrong with that?
But I bet no one has, though. No one has come up to you and said, why don't you think about coming over to
side. Not there. No. In fact, Jim Matulski, who's the pastor there, he and I have this running joke. Every time I'm over there, I always say, don't worry, I have dispensation from the rabbi to be here. So, you know, we just laugh. And, you know, you can be comfortable with other people's religion so that when you asked, you know, you go to Christmas with people who you who have had relationships with. Sure, why not? I can enjoy their holiday right. without it affecting me or without it, you know,
threatening
I don't feel.
You.
Yeah, you know, there's this thing, oh, well, Hanukkah because, you know, everybody, so that the Jews aren't missed. No, I can enjoy your holiday with you. Right. Why can't I enjoy it, right. your holiday? Mm-hmm. I don't get the same religious thing out of it, but it's just, you know, the family part of it and all that, of course.
And I would like to say that I'd love to celebrate Hanukkah with you sometime.
Well, December 21st, come to our Hanukkah party.
Okay.
I'll tell you where after the show.
Okay.
Okay. We'll be there.
I want to do that, especially since David hates that holiday.
Well, I do, because here's what I really don't like about it. I don't like a holiday that isn't a holiday in and of itself, that the only place where it's a big holiday is here in the United States, so that the kids don't feel left out of Christmas. We have our own holidays. You know, and that one really, it celebrates a war. That's actually what it is. It's the anniversary of the first guerrilla war and of guerrilla warfare. That's how 4,000 Jews beat 40,000 Assyrians. And we know that part of the history, and we know that part is true. It's a dumb holiday. I can enjoy your Christmas with you. I don't need to have Hanukkah. And I can enjoy Passover and Purim and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which are our major holidays. Yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah, but that's a matter of being secure in my own religion mm-hmm. and very happy with other people who have other beliefs and traditions, and I can share those too.
But the issue, David, is that a lot of people don't have the security that you have.
Right. Oh, I know that.
And they come from families who believe in a punitive God. Mm-hmm. And although they gay people move to the big cities because there's more support here, there's more places for us to feel comfortable, mm-hmm. internally, we still have that belief system.
Yeah.
And we have to deal with that, and that's why when I do supervision with young therapists, I say to them, in Texas, it is real important that you ask them, the gay person, where they are in their reconciliation process of how they were raised and what their sexual identity is. And it's a process, so that's why I say where they are in that process. It takes a while to get there, especially if you're a believer. It's faith, and you've believed it since you were little.
We need to take a break. It is Pledge Drive here at KNON, 972-647-1893. The phone hasn't rung in about 5 minutes, so we need that phone to ring again. 972-647-1893 is the number. Doc is standing by. Jesus Goldberg over here is standing by. We have lots of phones that are ready for you to call us. Doc has a list of all of the pledge premiums. You do have a list of all the pledge premiums? Okay. He will get a list of all the pledge premiums if you don't know what they are or you want to talk to him about them. Give us a call. Help keep the longest, oldest disc jockey on the air, Patty Fink.
The longest, oldest disc jockey? Uh-huh. How tall are you?
I meant you.
Oh, well, I could, you know, well, I'm
shortest,
awfully tall.
The shortest, oldest.
well, I can just say, if you act now and call 972-647-1893, you have an opportunity to give KNON wear for Christmas.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
You could select a whole bunch of different premiums based upon your generosity to the show, you know, and really.
Today could be Black Sunday.
It could be Black Sunday
and you can
for
give
our
it,
supporters.
You can give it as a however type of gift you want to give. It doesn't have to be Christmas. It could be a Hanukkah gift. It could be all kinds of gifts.
It could be.
Whatever you want to call it.
A New Year's apron.
And that did it. Phone is ringing. 972-647-1893. We'll be back right after this.
Hi, this is Patty Fink, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM.
And this is KNON, and that was the late Patty Fink, who is welcoming us back to
yes.
KNON. Phones are ringing, so we're not going to do a pledge beg right now. We are going to just go right back. I love when the phones are ringing like that. 972-647-1893, actually. Josh, Chris, split personality, Jesus, can answer your phone call. So
the ringing kind of reminds me of Christmas.
Well, it does. We're talking about stress for the holidays and, you know, things to watch out for, things to avoid. What are some good ways to avoid the stress?
Well, we've mentioned a couple of things. With the stress of money, to have a budget. Mm-hmm. I love Patty's idea about the $10 gift and it has a theme. Sometimes we draw names. So no, mm-hmm. I personally like unwrapping gifts, so I'm fine with 10 $10 gifts rather than one $40 gift, but that's me.
Yeah, but that 10 $10 gifts comes to $100, so I can see why.
You know, as a therapist, you just have to be close. You know, it's like it's your mother. No, it's your father. Yeah. Either way. Okay.
Words to live by.
It's one of them. Isn't that right? Yeah, the other therapist says that's right. Also, I think drinking. Think about how, you know, that you have two drinks for the day. How are you going to do that? You're going to drink one glass of wine at the dinner table. You're going to have one glass of wine toward the end of the day. But just two, really, that's enough. And then as far as family, I think if you go to your family, you bring your family, your partner, child, to your family, I think the stress is more on that person whose family it is.
It's worlds colliding.
Yes. And, you know, it's so difficult. It's like a time warp. You go back and it's all, everybody, the same conflicts are still there. The same feeling is still there. Where the partner's a little less stressed. So if it is your family, you know, be patient, take a deep breath, and enjoy. Enjoy the family being together.
And I would say prepare. One of the issues, not us, but some other people in the family.
Friends of yours.
We'll say friends of ours. One of the partners just always weren't ready to go. Like, as soon as the meal is over with, they're ready to go. The other one does not. You know, talk about that ahead of time. Say, okay, we're going to stay for X amount of time, and we're really going to stick to it and leave. Mm-hmm. You know, because that creates some other type of friction. So whatever issues you may have had in the past.
Right, after dessert, we're going to stay at least 30 minutes.
Exactly.
Or after dessert,
right.
You know,
exactly.
Or we will leave before it gets dark because we don't want to drive in the, you know, that kind
of thing. Yeah, something.
Whatever.
I don't know that this is really a gay issue, but I find it kind of interesting having grown up with this tradition. And I don't know if it's a good one. And that's the kids' table.
Oh.
I'm starting to have a real problem with a kids' table because I think we lose out when we're not interacting with our kids. And that may be the only time they see all those aunts and uncles and cousins and grandparents and stuff. And I would just encourage people not to do that. Or maybe if you have to have a satellite table, you know, mix it up. Have some adults with the kids at the satellite table. Have some adults with kids at the big table.
You know? I think that's a great
good idea.
I do think that everyone has had that kids' table experience, and I certainly did like sitting with my cousins, but I always noticed when the oldest kid at the kids' table got to move up to the big table.
Yes.
I thought, when is it my turn to move up?
Well, because if there was no room for you at the big table when you were little, there's not going to be room for you at the big table when you're big.
Somehow people move from the little table to the big table.
They
do. They move up, I'm telling you.
Huh. See, in my family, I was at the kids' table till I was well into my 40s.
Long tradition.
They were trying to keep you at the kids' table.
I was about to say, that's not something, it was a plan you've just happened on.
Huh.
David has nothing to say that's interesting.
Huh. I never realized that. I thought there just wasn't room.
There's always room. Kids move up to the big table.
Oh, not my family. I don't understand.
And something else I think is really kind of coming around, I've seen a lot more done at our holidays, is when you go to get dessert, because it's one of those places, everybody talks about the 15 pounds at the holidays, is just to take a little sliver of lots of things.
I wish it was.
You know, rather than big pieces of each and everything. you know, because you can just have that sugar overload at the end of the day.
Yes.
Well, moderation in all things is really good. We've been talking about moderation in money, moderation in alcohol, certainly moderation in food, because you don't want to be miserable when it's over. And someone has to do the dishes. Someone has to be awake.
The last of the holidays is New Year's. Is there that same sort of stress for New Year's, too?
I think New Year's is the most difficult holiday, the most difficult, because you're supposed to have fun and ring in the new year, and it's supposed to be gay, and people try too hard, and so they drink too much, or they stay out too late. So I think you need to plan way ahead of time what you want to do for New Year's and make that a fulfilling time for you and a happy time for you. And if you don't want to do New Year's at all, I'm okay with that. Go to bed at 10, you know, wake up and hear about what happened.
And people get too focused on the New Year's resolution and what thing am I going to change with the upcoming year, and they lose focus of what's happening in the present moment now.
Do you know, I've changed that, and I always fulfill my New Year's resolution, because I'll make two or three, and then my last one is that I will break all of these.
Sounds like that works for you.
It does work. It works perfectly.
And that's why you're at the kids' table.
Is there a value in New Year's resolutions, though?
I think it's kind of the same thing as like with doing everything in moderation. You want to take care of yourself all the time and actively work on that. Work on your communication with other people and on your self-care. And so that should be happening with the new year. And you can have goals for yourself, but not I must do this or I'm a failure.
I'm going to join a gym. I'm going to work out every single morning. I'm going to lose 50 pounds. Those are probably are not good ones to do.
No, but the I'm going to go to therapy, I think, is a great one. I'm going to start therapy. Yes. Because that's what happens. The gyms get a lot of call and therapists get a lot of call. I think it is good to make resolutions and moderate ones. And the reason I do is that I think there's two things that make life worth living, I think. One is relationships that we have. But the second one is challenging ourselves. And I don't believe in giving yourself a goal that you know you'll never reach. That's, you know, demoralizing. But I think to give yourself a goal of I'll eat better this month, I'll eat better this week, whatever. I think it's good to challenge ourselves. I think all of us being here on this radio show is a bit of a challenge. We want to entertain people. I mean, none of us are getting paid for this.
Patty is.
Well, yeah.
I'm not. And if I am, how much? And no, why haven't I seen it? Where is it?
It's donated back to the program.
And Josh gets paid, but none of my other personalities do.
But I do think so. Resolutions in moderation, like you're saying, I think are a good thing.
So something realistic.
Yes, absolutely.
And a lot of times when we put numbers in there, like I'm going to lose 50 pounds, that becomes unrealistic.
Because if you lose 40, you just failed.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love that though.
but if you set that kind of a goal,
the difference would be like today I'm going to take better care of myself with what I'm eating, and I'm really going to focus on that today or this week. That's more manageable than thinking about a number or a size whenever it comes to particularly weight loss and a lot of goals that people set for the new year.
Well, I think there's a particular joy and a sense of renewal. Mm-hmm. That comes every January, at least for me. Mm-hmm. You know, and there are things, you know, that happen at work, like maybe a different insurance carrier for your benefits and things like that.
Oh, don't get me started on our insurance carrier.
undo, click on the undo button.
I kind of wanted to hear it.
No, undo.
Yeah, undo.
Quickly type.
Yes. But, you know, like, or maybe you're celebrating a new holiday this year in your work environment, or maybe you have a new manager, or you moved into a new office, or something like that. Or at home, you got something new there. But I get that sense in January every year that it is kind of a
renewal.
It's a reset. And you get a chance to forgive yourself and start anew on lots of things. It doesn't have to be a specific resolution. It can just be a newness. You know, and I think we have to have that renewal. We all get excited when spring comes, whether we acknowledge it or not. We do. We love seeing flowers and, you know, birds chirping and that kind of stuff. But I think it is a time, even if you don't say anything specific, just to embrace the reset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that that's a very healthy way to look at it. And unfortunately, a lot of clients I've worked with don't see it in that healthy of a manner. It's more like, I've failed up until this point, so now I want to start all over again.
Demoralizing.
Yeah.
So that's a very positive outlook.
Mm-hmm. It's just a newness.
Yeah.
You know.
And what advice would you give to parents who have kids who were born in December?
Oh.
Because he has one.
I.e. me.
And yeah, you have one and your daughter has one.
Yes, that's right. My birthday's in December also.
I think it's real important that you separate the two.
Yeah.
Real important. Now, I don't know how some people got in the habit of, well, you know, this is for your birthday and Christmas. You know, what a...
Yeah.
That's not fair. This is my birthday. This is just for me. And this is Jesus' birthday. And it's for him. So we have two. Happy birthday, Jesus, and happy birthday, me.
I agree. But it is a little stressful, but I agree.
And your birthday is on what day?
The 30th.
It is the 30th. All okay. Right. So usually on the air, we can only celebrate once. So you're only getting a happy birthday, Merry Christmas one time from us. We don't care.
See?
My birthday is December 31st.
I did not know that, Josh.
Wow.
So this speaks to my family's mental health. For years, I thought New Year's Eve was just my birthday.
And everybody was celebrating.
I celebrated.
Well, can't wait to get off work and get home.
That's awesome, though.
I think that might be why I split personalities. When I realized that wasn't the case, it did make me a little sad.
You must have been very distraught when Dick Clark died.
He's dead?
That is too funny.
Wow. Oh, I'm sorry. So now Anderson Cooper and...
Kathy Griffin.
And Kathy Griffin.
But they celebrate my birthday.
Celebrate your birthday, Griffin. That's good. Yeah, he's real healthy.
Well, I'm really glad to have a March birthday.
Well, mine is in September.
Yep.
And sometimes Yom Kippur falls on my birthday. That's lots of fun when you can't eat. No birthday cake.
Oh, wow.
Nothing.
No matzah
is Passover, but no, Yom Kippur is the day that you fast. So
no food or drink.
Yeah, no food, no drink, no birthday cake.
Not even water?
Not supposed to.
Wow. Oh, not even water.
It's fasting for the whole day, yeah.
Wow.
Well, that's the saddest story I've ever heard. And I'm serious.
So what we've learned today is he was put at the kids' table until he was 40, and his birthday every so many years wasn't celebrated. I think he has more issues than we might think.
I have no issues. I'm perfectly well adjusted.
I wonder
We find the people who say they're perfectly well adjusted and have no issues are the ones who should probably be seeing us on a regular basis.
Twice a week.
I think you're right.
I find four times a year works here. Which is why we have candy. It is Pledge Drive, 972-647-1893. We're almost at the end of our Pledge Drive, and today's show really did help us quite a bit. 972-647-1893. You can still help us push us to the end of Pledge Drive a lot quicker. 972-647-1893. Or you can go online, KNON.org, and click the Pledge button, or you can text it to KNON. And then type in the number 56512. So text KNON to 56512.
And just remember, you can also get that KNONware. This is a great time to make your pledge, and your premiums will arrive in plenty of time for, you know, that Christmas holiday or Hanukkah.
Hanukkah's late this year, so.
That's right. So you can make all of those and give caps and T-shirts and
aprons.
Mm-hmm. You know, all kinds of stuff.
But don't wait. Call now because the month of November is flying by, and I'm sure this month of December is going to do the same. So give us a call. We'll be standing by even after the show at 972-647-1893.
You know, one of the many reasons to donate to KNON, it's all live, it's all local, no out-of-town programming except on this show, which obviously was not programmed here locally. No. Now, believe it or not, we come up with our own programming. Believe it
no
or not.
No one wrote these scripts. No
we
one
have,
wrote
we this. Have our own writers. It's us.
972-647-1893. You can give us a call. We'll be around even a little bit after the top of the hour. You can still call in. We're almost out of time, but any last-minute suggestions for the holiday for holiday stress?
I would say just prepare and take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm. I would say be patient and have fun.
Mm-hmm. And if you're driving, be safe on the road, and certainly flying. Don't kill your neighbors on the plane.
Mm-hmm. That's great advice.
Yeah.
Don't kill your neighbors.
Relax and eat a lot. It's the one day you're allowed to.
And if you're, we were driving down I-30 to Fort Worth one year, and in the back trunk, near the window, and the trunk was a pie of a car driving next to us, and we pulled alongside it and pointed backwards, and they were just shocked, and it was like thank you, but we wanted to hang around and see how they slowed down to get the pie off of the car. They're going 60 miles an hour, so remember to put it in the car.
And next week we have a city council person. Want to know who?
Yeah.
Who?
Michael Sabatino. They're looking at me like I'm crazy. He's a Yonkers city council person who is openly gay, and he was part of Edie Windsor's lawsuit.
All right.
So he and his partner are going to be with us next week.
Excellent.
Probably won't be as much fun, but great show.